Trey Hensley will be joining us for about, we recorded this because of his schedule in mind, recorded this a week or so ago, about half an hour. I think you're going to really enjoy Trey Hensley. He has a new album with Rob Ikes. The album is entitled Before the Sun Goes Down. And, boy, it just touches all of the bases. And Trey is a remarkable guitar player and sings like every great country singer you ever wanted to hear sing, but his own style. And a nice young man. Well, I'd like to welcome Trey Hensley to Unreal Bluegrass. How are you doing, Trey?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I'm so happy that you're... I think the album, the actual release date might be tomorrow of this new album. Is that right?
It is. It is, in fact.
Yeah, January 15th.
Been a long time in the making, so it's been nice to have it out.
And the album is Before the Sun Goes Down, and it's you and other people, too, but it's basically Rob Ikes, and you are the headliners, I guess, of the album.
Yeah,
and there's a nice collection of tunes on here. You have that really great classic big, I don't like to categorize them, but you have a big classic country voice, and maybe that's why Merle Haggard stuff that you do comes out so easily to you. But I will tell you this, you're a heck of a guitar player behind all this stuff. I don't want someone to think they're going to listen to Rob accompanying a guy singing, because there's some help.
Shoot, man, well, I sure appreciate that.
There's some great instrumental stuff with you and Rob on here, and you absolutely tear up a guitar. So how did you, let's talk a little bit about your guitar playing first, because the singing is going to be obvious, but I kind of want to peek in a little bit to how you got into playing guitar the way you do.
Well, yeah, you know, the guitar, I started singing when I was, 6 years old. I was singing in churches and stuff, and then I went to a bluegrass festival. I was always really into bluegrass and country music, and nobody in my family played. But anyway, I went to a bluegrass festival and saw Jimmy Martin playing guitar. And I don't know, just something, you know, like a moth to a flame or so, that I was just, you know, drawn right to Jimmy Martin. And so I just decided I wanted to play guitar. And, you know, I got one that year for my birthday, and just kind of took at it. And it's always been one of those things where I've loved playing guitar, you know, just about as much as anything in the world. I play all the time and always have since I started playing. I think that kind of comes across, that it is one of those things that I love to do. So makes it a little more fun, a little easier.
Well, so you're doing Jimmy Martin stuff, and you know, just real steady back up, and I guess that real great rhythm that you developed doing that stuff. So, but how do you get from there into some of the lead stuff? Because you're playing some great, you know what? Your playing isn't like, hey, look at me, I'm real flashy. It's more like, listen and hear what I'm doing. I think you could probably do as many licks, hot licks, if you want to. But as I listen to this album, and you do some blues stuff and lots of instrumental stuff with Rob, your playing is really very tasty in that, you know, look, I can do... This fits within the song really well. That's what I'm going to do. But I got a feeling you can really stretch out if you want to.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I started playing. There was this guy that lived where I grew up. His name's G.C. Matlock. He played in this band back in the 70s called Hard Times. And he's just, I mean, still he's one of my favorite guitar players. Just in that way is that, you know, when he would go up to play something, it would just be exactly... you know, what the song needed, and he was a teacher in the area, and so I started taking lessons off of him, and of course, you know, he kind of introduced me into Tony Rice, but I was already a big fan of Flat and Scruggs, and I had the album Flat and Scruggs and Doc Watson.
Oh, yeah.
The Strictly Instrumental album.
Yeah.
And so I was a big, big Doc fan, and then, of course, you know, the guy GC, I was a big fan of his, and from there kind of got into the, you know, Clarence White stuff and a lot of Tony's stuff. And then, you know, as I went along, you know, switching with the electrics, the kind of music that I'm into, you know, it's been ever-changing. So I've kind of tried to develop all the stuff that I like and put it into my playing, and and hope it comes out all right.
Is this the album that you did with Rob, this Before the Sun Goes Down, is this kind of where you think you are right now? I don't know when you really recorded it. I assume within the last year, but is this kind of where you feel comfortable? Because there's some great acoustic stuff, and I'll talk about that. Some great electric playing.
It definitely is, yeah.
Yeah, and then you just wail on some Merle songs, and like you mentioned, Jimmy Martin, the title tune is a song that you heard from, I guess, the Jimmy Martin album Before the Sun Goes Down. But it's you just have that great big, and I want to use this term because I can't think of these round tones when you sing. They're so clear, and they seem so easy. That makes me want to think this. Have you had any kind of singing training? Did you have any vocal training? I'm always curious when I hear a voice like yours. It's like Larry Sparks. It's so smooth, and everything that Larry does is just so easy, but you know he's got a lot behind it. Did you have any training to go with this?
No, I sure don't. Like I said, I mean, I just kind of started out. And really, you know, when I started, I don't even remember why it happened that I started singing when I was sick. But, you know, it's just always kind of came out and, you know, whatever. But, you know, of course, I was influenced by a lot of, I mean, Merle and George Jones and, you know, the classic country stuff is kind of where I cut my teeth on all that. So, you know, it's been those country songs and that type of singing have always been what I've wanted to do and what I've done. If it's just in the car riding or
just in the car,
whatever, you know. Yeah.
Just in the car.
You know,
well, that's Trey. Here's Trey's next album is going to be Singing in the Car.
There you go, man. The iPhone recording in the car.
Well, you're so natural at that sound. I mean, I struggle with trying to describe the vocals, and people will hear it on the show, and they have already before, but it's just a nice, easy, but I always think when it sounds easy, there's more to it than what I'm hearing. You're not just like talking, you know, like Lester Flatt, you mentioned him, always sounded like he was just like, you know, resting as he was talking, but he was such a good singer. Everything was so clear and so clean and just those nice big sounds that you have a lot of that quality as far as the clarity of your singing voice, I think.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I mean, and then you get, we have to talk about this before we started recording. I jumped on right away. You do this acoustic version with Rob of Pride and Joy, and we got off kind of on some of the blues influences that you have. And again, I want to tell people when they hear this album, of course, everyone will recognize Rob from all the great stuff he does on his own and with Blue Highway and you know, Instrumental of the Year forever and ever and ever. But you play great guitar. And if I could focus on Pride and Joy, the Stevie Ray Vaughan tune, you do an acoustic version of that. And I'm curious,
yeah.
was that your choice to put this on the album?
Well, it kind of, you know, the way we cut this album, all of it is live in the studio. Randy did line, and he kind of goes in depth. That we just had a couple of days in the studio, and really before we went in, we had barely talked about what we were going to do. And we had been doing electric version of Pride and Joy when we played Station Inn and everything like that, but we'd never done it. You know, just me and Rob and an acoustic thing. And so we just kind of tried it, and it just really worked. We actually, you know, as a little tip of the hat to Stevie, you know, tuned down half step and, you know, tried to make it as authentic as possible. But really, it's just a live cut in the studio, you know, of us just kind of jamming on a song that we both liked. And it just, you know, came out really, you know, really easy and just like a jam session, because that's what it was, you know, just a fun recording.
What's it like when you're kind of trading with Rob Ike, so you know, can go anywhere you want to go? What's it when you're playing something like this? What's that feeling when you look over there and you think, holy cow, it's Rob Ike's, and you know, you got to keep up? Or I mean, that must be a kind of a cool feeling.
It's very cool. It's very scary at times, you know, because he's just such a incredible, you know, instrumentalist You know, like you say, can just do any kind of music imaginable. But, you know, it's one of the coolest things I've ever gotten the chance to do, because, you know, it's somebody to learn from, and you know, he's such a great player. It inspires me to play the best I can and, you know, continue on working, and so it's been very, very cool.
If you, I asked you this before we went on the air, if you're like sitting around later tonight and you have your electric guitar, which you play a lot on this record, and if you're just like sitting by yourself and not getting ready for a show or not getting ready to record anything, what kind of stuff are you kind of noodling around in on the electric guitar? I'm curious about that.
Well, I'm a big blues fan. I just love all kinds of blues stuff, especially, you know, like the electric Muddy Waters stuff and Buddy Guy and you know, even some of Clapton's electric blues stuff. And so that's really, you know, I got kind of deep into that back several years ago. And so when I've got an electric guitar, you know, it's usually me sitting around doodling on some old blues licks or something, trying to figure something else out.
How did you, I want you to tell the story about your, you had a really early introduction to the Grand Ole Opry stage, but I want you to tell me first how you got hooked up with Rob through Blue Highway. How did that work out?
Well, I had met Rob probably the first time I got to meet him. Even though Blue Highway was, you know, they're originally from the same area that I grew up in, I met Rob the first time when he was playing with Earl Scruggs. And I had met Earl, I guess, that, you know, when I first started playing, I met Marty Stewart about 6 months after I started, you know, first picked up the guitar. And I met him at a fair right in East Tennessee where I lived. And anyway, I got to meet him backstage and got to play for him, and he invited me up on stage with him that night, and then he invited me to the Opry. When I was at the Opry, I got to meet Earl and kind of got the bond with Earl. And then Earl, you know, invited me out to some of his shows that he had. And, you know, Rob was playing dobro with Earl and a lot of those things. So I was actually going through some pictures here recently and found, you know, quite a few of me and Rob back when, you know, I was 12 or 13, something like that. And so I've known Rob, you know, for a long time. And then, of course, I've picked quite a bit with Blue Highway through the years too.
You know, you just lost like half of my audience, who are probably, a lot of them are guitar players. And when you said, you know, I was playing about 6 months and then I met Marty Stewart and he said, I'll come up to the Opry. Do you realize how out of the norm that is, man? There's guys out there listening to this, opening their windows and throwing their guitars out in the yard.
Well, it was a very, very cool experience. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that was very surreal, and it's been, you know, really cool to look back on that. And of course, now with the joys of YouTube, that's available to watch at any time. So,
oh yeah, okay.
Can go back and reflect on that.
That's so the stuff you did back in those days, is someone's put it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Cool.
The video of me on the Opry is on YouTube.
Oh, all right. I'll check that out.
And I've got, somebody sent me a video a long time ago, the first time that I played with Marty. Fairgrounds, and so maybe it might end up on YouTube one day. I don't know. You never can tell.
Hey, listen, nothing you do anymore is private, so anywhere you are, just assume it's going to get on YouTube. And then when it isn't,
all documented.
Yeah, that's right. We don't do anything in the cave anymore, man. It's all out there for everywhere to see. So did you? Is the game, I guess, the last album that I know that they've done separate things, because Tim has been on this program, but the game, I guess, was the last thing, and you did some work on that or sang on it, or you were going to do a track in the studio, and then how did that work out?
Well, what had originally happened was that they were needing a scratch sing on one song, and what was originally planned was that they were going to, you know, just have me do the scratch vocals so they could, you know, play and wouldn't have to worry about singing, you know, get a good live band track, and then, you know, take my vocal off. And I think they were going to have somebody else come in and maybe sing it. But then, you know, I came in and kind of at the last minute and sang with the band, which was, you know, really cool experience for me. And then a couple of days after I had recorded, I just didn't think anything else of it, you know, and because I knew they were going to get off. And so I got a call back a couple of days later and said that they were really happy with the vocal on that song, and they were just going to leave it on the record, which, of course, that, you know, thrilled me to death. I'm a huge Blue Highway fan, and you know, to be on their record, much less, you know, I went in and recorded, and that was cool enough, and, you know, on the record on a song, and, you know, the song ended up being My Last Day in the Mine.
Yeah. Now, scratch vocal, that's a term that means something to musicians and studio people, but tell the listeners what a scratch vocal is so they know why you were surprised it stayed on.
Yeah, it's just it's basically just a vocal that somebody will do, you know, just so the band can get a full track without having to go back and replace any instruments. You know, like if they would have had Tim sing it or somebody else sing it, you know, he would have had to go back and replace his guitar part. And so instead of doing that, they just had, you know, a band will do a scratch vocal to kind of keep from interrupting everything else. And I guess they just had it, you know, to where they weren't really listening to the scratch vocal going down, and then kind of listened to it a couple days after that, and were pleased with it, which was, you know, extremely exciting for me.
Who called you from the band?
That's really cool.
Who called you from the band to say we're keeping that?
You know, I can't really remember. I think it was might have just been the guy that was doing the engineering, and then, you know, the band was there in the studio, and then I talked to Rob right after that, and that was whenever I was getting ready to move to Nashville. And so I know, you know, Rob was telling me more about it too, and I know I talked to most of those guys in the band right after they decided they were going to keep it on the record. So I can't remember who the first one that called to tell me was, but I wish I would have made a note. I was probably jumping up and down or something and forgot to remember.
It's all right. You got the memory. It doesn't matter who. You just know it was on there. When did excuse me. When did you and Rob start playing together and the idea of this album? Because that wasn't that long ago that the game came out.
You know, that was it was right after, you know, recording of the game. And I told Rob that me and my wife were thinking about moving to Nashville. And actually, he had called because the studio engineer had was a friend of mine. Actually, he played bass with me on a bunch of my shows, the guy that was engineering or helping engineer the game. And he was showing Rob some YouTube of some of our gigs, you know, some of the shows that I was playing guitar on. And so just out of the blue one day, I got a call from Rob, and he was telling me that he was a, you know, big fan of my singing and my guitar playing, and he just wanted to let me know if there was anything that he could ever do for me to let him know, and you know, he would do anything he could to help. And so I told him, well, yeah, man, I'd love to connect. I'm thinking we might be in Nashville pretty soon, and he told me, you know, definitely give him a call. And you know, just a few months after that, it ended up that we did move to Nashville, and so we pretty much immediately, you know, me and Rob started playing some stationing gigs, and you know, we started out playing, you know, quite often there, and getting some other gigs, and then I mean, it wasn't maybe a month after that we got in the studio for the first time to start working on that record. So it was all pretty fast. Everything sort of seemed to gel.
It ought to be going like lightning speed to you right now, because this is all you're talking about, you know, time, not exactly within a year, but not that far off of a year by the time you lay down that scratch vocal, and now you're putting together an album which comes out tomorrow with Rob. It's not been that long.
Oh, no, it was a very quick process. You know, it was really, like I said, I think everything just kind of fell into place really quick.
And Trey, you were how long in the studio doing this album?
Oh, well, really, we only had, you know, like two or three full days in the studio. Of course, you know, there are some overdubbed background vocals. But as far as all the other, you know, the instruments and the main vocal, everything was cut live in the studio. And, which, you know, this was my first time ever really doing anything like that. You know, I've recorded, I guess, five or six albums before that, you know, and, but those were, I was quite a bit younger, but all the recording process was quite different the way I had done it before, And but we like, I mean, even you know, it applies here. It just everything kind of fell into place. And yeah, I mean, what you're hearing on the record is just pretty much what happened in the studio.
It's like live. You're doing a live. You're basically doing a live recording. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, sure is.
I don't want people. First of all, I want them to focus back on your voice for a minute because you do these great Merle Haggard tunes, and then you have a song on this album too, "My Way Is the Highway," which sounds just like a great country record to me. I mean, so you do a lot of singing, you do a lot of playing on it. But how did you did you say you and Rob just kind of played together and picked these tunes out over that period when you were in the studio, or did you think I'm going to sing this many? I'm going to do this many Merle songs, or what?
No, we had we kind of had a list of the stuff that we'd been doing live, you know, and Rob would just kind of send over some songs that he liked, and I would send over songs that I liked, and, you know, we pretty much liked the same stuff, and so when we went in the studio, we just kind of had a big long list and picked from them, and I mean, everything just really, you know, as far as the record, because we've actually recorded more than what's being released. And so, you know, we'll have some either for the next record or, you know, we'll do something else with them along the way. But, yeah, I mean, we just pretty much got in there and named off what we wanted to do and went ahead and did it.
Now, see, Trey, I'm talking to Trey Hensley, but just tuning in, by the way, and we're talking about the new album with Rob Ikes, Before the Sun Goes Down. I'm trying to let you say, yes, it was really hard. But you just keep coming back. Yeah, we just went in and made an album, and here it is. And it's like, that's great, man. I mean, but you need to sell it. Like, yeah, I really put my soul. I was like, yeah, I was working all, you know, for days, and now we just go in and make an album. That's cool. It worked out really well, though.
Yeah, there's one guitar part that we spent 3.5 months on.
Okay, all right, you're taking my lead. Good job. You've got Bob Wills tunes on here. You got a great the Buddy Emmons thing. That's just fun. That's just fun stuff. That classic steel. I guess that's Rob showing off a little.
Yeah, we're both huge old Texas swing fans, and of course Rob, you know, he's a monster steel player, and you know, it's amazing the tone that he gets on Raising the Dickens, the Buddy Emmons tune.
Yeah.
You know, it's so pedal steel. It's just a fat, you know, tone that he gets on.
That's a good description. Yeah, it's a big fat tone. And then you do, you know, you throw in Little Cabin Home on the Hill, but it's not what they're going to hear from Flatt & Scruggs. You know, there's a lot of great country sounds. There's some acoustic picking tunes, and then you get the Little Cabin Home on the Hill, and it's you with that kind of that shuffle and that electric guitar playing through it.
Yeah, we're you know, kind of changed things up a little bit on all the tunes, and you know, even the stuff that, you know, we cut the Billy Joe Shaver tune on Fast Train, and you know, we just tried to change up a lot of the songs that, you know, maybe in the case of Little Cabin Home on the Hill, you know, just all classic. And try to make it, you know, a little different, and then, you know, take songs that maybe were covers but maybe more obscure and do our own thing with them. So it was, you know, it was really, really cool to get to do all that and play, you know, some of my favorite tunes, and, you know, end up making this record with a lot of my favorite stuff on it, and then, you know, with some original stuff, and I just feel like it was a great mix of ideas and the kind of different music that Rob and I both like.
You pretty excited about this coming out?
Oh, definitely.
It's good. It's really good. You're going to get a lot of good reactions from it. But here's something I'm always curious about. Where do you think, and given the kind of the vague descriptions that we've given of all the tunes, I think we've covered it pretty well, but where do you think is going to be the... Where do you think, if people are listening to this album with you and Rob, where do you think they're going to be listening? What kind of fan is going to be listening? Country? Do you think old-time people who like the old classic country? Do you think they're going to be some bluesy? What do you think is going to be listening to this?
Yeah, I don't know. And I've thought of that before, you know, as far as, you know, because I know that me and Rob are, and actually there was an ongoing joke whenever we did some shows out west a few weeks ago, and we did this thing in the set where we usually played a Lubin Brothers tune, and then we went to a Larry Carlton song. it, and you know, it's a pretty big shift.
Yes, it is.
And
jazz, you go.
You don't always see everybody connecting. You know, either one or the other. You'll see people that really like the Larry Carlton song, or people that dug the other one. And you know, I don't know. There's nothing that jolting on this record that they'll make the people that hate electric tunes. You know, I don't think it'll upset anybody at all. I'm such a fan of bluegrass, and I'm such a fan of the old traditional country stuff, and you know, all the real country music that, and even the blues, you know, like with Stevie Ray Vaughan's song. I hope that this record will find its place with everybody, you know, and everybody will be able to pick out something on it that they like.
Are you going to be touring with Rob? I mean, not touring, but I mean, you're going to be doing some, can they find out where you're going to be with Rob to do this album? Do you have a website?
Yeah, we have a new website out, and it's robandtrey.com, and that's T-R-E-Y.
Okay.
we might have some confusion there, but yeah, it's just robandtrey.com.
Well, how else would you spell Trey, with an A?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people show with an A.
Really? All right. Well, they don't get to hear this album. If they think your name is spelled like a tray, they don't get to hear this album. They're out already.
That's right. We'll hold it back for them.
That's right. So what do you got coming up?
We're playing the Station Inn this week. This Thursday we'll be having our CD release party.
Oh, great.
The 15th. And then we're doing some dates. I guess Sunday we're playing in Aberdeen, North Carolina at the Rooster's Life, and then next week we'll be having like a CD release weekend. We're playing the 22nd there in Asheville at the Isis, and then the 23rd we're going back to my home place there in Johnson City, the down home.
Okay.
And then I guess the 24th we'll be playing in Valdez, North Carolina, and then after that, you know, I'm not really sure. I know we'll be doing a lot of stuff, and so far it looks like we're going to have a busy year, you know, and I'll be doing a lot of stuff with Rob, so yeah, man, it'll be really exciting to get this record out and be able to travel and play some shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, doing some stuff off here.
So they can follow you on the website. I assume they can buy the album off the website too, right?
Yeah, sure can. And there's actually a Facebook page for me and Rob as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, and it's just, I think, facebook.com/RobandTrey.
Okay.
So, yeah, check it out.
This is exciting stuff, man. I think you're going to have a blast doing this stuff live.
Well, I really appreciate it.
It's
been a whole lot of fun thus far, so we'll just keep at it.
Hey, if it isn't fun, what's the point?
That's right.
You know? All right, Trey Hensley, listen, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to stop by Unreal Bluegrass, and I play the songs. I've played for a couple weeks now since I got it, and I think people are going to really respond to what you're doing vocally, and I hope they realize that you're not just there singing with Rob playing, but that you're tearing up a lot of this guitar stuff. You'll have to show them that live so they understand what you're doing.
Well, I really appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
All right, Trey. Listen, Trey Hensley, new album with Rob Ikes entitled Before the Sun Goes Down. I lost my piece of paper there for just a second. All right, Trey. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
Take care. We're looking for you out there with Rob somewhere, all right?
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Bye. Thanks so much to Trey Hensley for being available and recording a nice little interview and kind of getting into his mind a little bit. You're going to hear a lot from Trey, I believe, and I'm not the only person that says that. I'm not trying to be special, but I'm just telling you the guy's incredibly talented. Great singer, great songwriter, very incredible guitar player. You're going to like what you hear coming from him.